don't know if it's ironic or providential that on the Sunday that we celebrate the gifts of women, we have this passage from Matthew about worrying. I know men worry too, but I'm not sure they verbalize it as much. Women worry silently and aloud. They worry when they're awake and they worry when they're sleeping. Young women worry about finding that first job, about affording rent and college debt and health care. If they have young children, there are concerns about whether their kids are eating enough, sleeping enough, playing with other children enough. Women in their 30s and their 40s, they worry about mortgage payments and keeping up with technology. They wonder what's happening to their children when they're gone all day long at school, dealing with bullying, peer pressure, standardized tests. They stress about saving for college while also saving for retirement, and they're constantly balancing kids and work and marriage and friendship. Women in their 60s, 70s, 80s, they have plenty of worries of their own. They want what's best for their adult children who now have grown-up struggles. Retirement forces them to adjust to new life rhythms. They wonder about downsizing and getting rid of the stuff that's accumulated over the years. There are health concerns and difficult choices about whether to opt for independent living or assisted living and when. Am I stressing you out? My own heart is going a little quicker. Jesus sensed that we humans are anxious, nervous. He tells us not to worry about food. But he didn't live in a world where fruits and vegetables are sprayed with pesticides that may or may not be harmful. Where every time you open up the newspaper, you read that Diet Coke may cause cancer. Eggs can raise the bad cholesterol, or maybe they lower it. I can't remember. White wine can increase your risk of melanoma. Coffee can be good for you or bad for you, depending on which study you read. Jesus tells us not to worry about clothes. But he didn't have growing children who constantly need the next size up. He wasn't bombarded with advertisements and magazines showcasing the season's hottest trends and colors. Think about it. His best friend was John the Baptist. The guy wore a cloak of camel's fur and a leather belt cinched around his waist. Not exactly a fashionista. Yes, Jesus, the birds in the air are nice to watch. And the lily fields are just lovely. But last time I checked, I need more than worms and a little sunshine to make it in this life. But then Jesus, in all of his divine wisdom, quiets my grumbling when he says, "Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Put another way, you want to control things that are beyond your control. Death is the ultimate mystery, the final act that is completely outside of our control. We are mortal. We won't live on this earthly realm forever. This is always in the back of our mind, and it's part of what pushes us to worry and stress and micromanage. the more we feel like we can control things, our career, our diet, the new paint color of our home, the loved ones in our life, the less we have to think about the fact that in the end, there's one moment we have no say over. This idea of having control, of being the master of your own destiny, it's all an illusion, says Jesus. None of us knows what tomorrow will bring. One accident, one ill-advised decision, one slip of the tongue, one impulsive act can change our lives forever. In an instant, our job, our family, our finances, our dreams can crumble right before our eyes. This isn't pleasant to think about, is it? We don't like feeling vulnerable. But hey, it's Lent, a season that is deeply countercultural. It begins with Ash Wednesday, where we are marked on our forehead with a cross, and we are told, remember, you are dust, and to dust you will return. It's a time when we talk openly about temptation and the reality of evil in the world. When we walk with Jesus through Holy Week to remember year after year how quick we are to deny and abandon and betray one who didn't deserve any of it. Lent is a time when we acknowledge how fragile life is, how fragile our relationships and our reputations are. Once we acknowledge this, we stop taking it for granted. We don't assume that the paycheck or the spouse or the child or the clean bill of health will always be there. So we begin to value them a little bit more. We stop chasing the temptation to upgrade or improve. And instead, we are filled with gratitude and appreciation for everything we already have. Glennon Melton Doyle is a writer and a blogger. She writes on faith and family and womanhood. She has thousands of followers and has released different books. A few years back on her blog, she posted a picture of herself, and her kitchen was in the background. And some well-meaning followers who read her post began to make a few comments about small things she could do to freshen up the kitchen a little bit. Some Subway tile backsplash here, little stainless steel there, some shelving and hooks to organize things a bit. After reading some of the comments, Glennon began to look around at her kitchen, and she thought, maybe it was all wrong. Maybe the 80s counters, the laminate cabinets, the mismatched appliances, and the clutter really were mistakes that I needed to fix. I stood and I stared, and suddenly my kitchen looked shabby and lazy to me. And I wondered if that meant I was shabby and lazy too. But then she had another realization. She has a refrigerator that miraculously keeps food fresh for days, even weeks. She has healthy food inside of that fridge to feed her family. She has a faucet where you lift the faucet thing and water comes out whenever she wants it to. Do you know how many people in our world would love to have any one of those things? Glennon concludes that our constant anxiety to keep up with the next best thing, our inability to be grateful for everything we have, she thinks it's one of the greatest weaknesses of our modern age. Worry doesn't change anything. It just makes us anxious and afraid about things that we can't control. Gratitude, that changes everything. It makes us kinder and more peaceful. It helps us live in the present instead of agonizing about tomorrow. And the truth is, bad things might happen, whether we worry about them or not. The Bible never promises a perfect or easy life. In our Old Testament passage, a tragedy has just occurred. A foreign army has marched into Jerusalem, destroyed the city, sacked God's holy temple. Thousands were killed. Hundreds are taken hostage to a foreign land. In the midst of such pain, such disappointment, such despair, one of the survivors cries out to God, saying, "The memory of my suffering and homelessness is bitterness and poison. I can't help but be depressed." But then he says, "Certainly, the faithful love of the Lord has not ended. Certainly, God's compassion isn't through. They are renewed every morning. Great is your faithfulness." We will face many battles in this life, and we're bound to worry. But this ancient Israelite and Jesus himself, they've recognized that worry doesn't change anything. Even when tragedy struck, they knew God was with them and would see them through. They remind us that God is always faithful. And the love and compassion of our Creator washes us afresh with each new morning. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field. God takes care of them. God will take care of you. Thanks be to God. Amen.